after verse 5, we have the blessings of each tribe of Israel. We have the blessings here that Moses has given, has called the assembly, and he has blessed the people. One of the things we talked about last week is we need, especially, I see Moses as a father figure in this passage. And as a father, he is blessing the children of Israel. And one of the things I really believe that we as fathers should do is bless our children. I think we should bless our children. As I read this passage, what I notice is all the blessings are not the same. If you read down each blessing, they are not the same. Some are long, some are short, and some is just a few words. What that tells me is, as children of God, all our blessings are different. It reminds me of the scripture that says that we are all of the one body but different parts. Right? You wouldn't bless the hand to see. Would you bless the hand to see? Would you say, hand, may you see? And no, because the hand doesn't do the seeing. Correct? So when you are looking at fathers, when you are looking at your children, you should be seeing the blessings or what God has placed in their lives, and you are reaffirming that with blessings. With blessings. Three things I see here. We must be a blessing. Blessings are different. And God can surpass whatever we bless others with. And the first one I wanted to look at was Reuben. It says in verse 6, let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few. Now, if you go in the scriptures and you read back there in Genesis chapter 49, when he was getting his blessings from his father, this is what his father told him. Genesis 49 verse 4. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up on your father's bed, then you defiled it. When his father was blessing Reuben, what happened? He didn't really get a good blessing. He was going to be what? He's going to be tossed like the waves. No. You understand? Why? Because he did something that his father greatly disapproved. And he had to live with that for the rest of his life. Now think about it for a minute. What was happening? He is what? The firstborn. Right? What does the firstborn get? The firstborn gets the best blessing. You realize that? Firstborn gets in fact, the scripture says that it's the strength of their loins. The firstborn. And here, the firstborn, what is his blessing? From his earthly father was what? You're going to be tossed like what? The waves. You're going to be tossed like the waves. You know something? When we do stuff, there's going to be penalties for what we did. Right? But I see in this, even though here comes now his spiritual father, and he has lost all honor, and guess what happened? Here comes his spiritual father, and when his spiritual father pronounced the blessings, he says what? You shall live. I like that. Because if I was to do the blessing, I probably would have go back to Genesis and see what his father said about him, and I would agree. But what did he do? He placed back some honor in his life. He said to him, you shall live and not die. And you know, when I thought about that, I remember Jacob and Esau. Am I saying it right? Am I saying it right? When the blessing was supposed to go to one and it went to the other. And guess what? When he realized that his blessing was gone, he begged for something. You have anything left for me, Dad? That's how important a blessing is. And Reuben had lost that. And here comes, generations come, and they're about to enter the promised land, and Moses, the spiritual father, say, you shall live and not die. And what I was going to say after that is, he still held back a little bit when he said, and let your men be few. But I don't believe it's a saying that he would be the least of the tribes, but about 7 of the tribes had more abundant in their offsprings than Reuben, if you go back and look in the numbers. So we see that there is mercy when we see what God is doing in others. Maybe as Moses is being the spiritual father, maybe as he looks at the tribe and as he has spent time with them, he realized that change has taken place. I don't know. It's important, I believe, for us as fathers, as parents, but mostly fathers, that we spend time with our children so we know what God is doing in their life. We can see how their life are being affected by God, and therefore we can speak blessings into their lives. I thank God that there is mercy. I thank God that there is mercy. God wants us to be blessed. How do I know that? In Genesis chapter 12. Here we have God as the Father calling Abraham out. And verse 1. And now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country to your kindred and your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you of a great nation, and I will bless you and make you your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Blessed. Our heritage should be blessings. Back to Genesis. No, Deuteronomy. What am I talking about? Deuteronomy chapter 33. Listen how I figured out that their blessing coincide with what their calling or their gifting in life is. When you look at verse 8 through 11. What that tells me there is, listen to this. It says they will be the teacher, right? What was their job? What was the Levite's job? They were the priests. They serve in the temple, right? And when you look at this blessing, you see it coincides with what they should be doing. Do you all see that? It says, they shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your laws. They shall put incense before you and hold burnt offerings on your altar. When we go to speak or going to encourage our children, don't encourage them where God is not leading them. Now, I tell you this. Right now, I tell Anya this too. When she gets married, she got to marry a man that is going to stay close by. She's going to live close. We're going to be able to see the grandchildren. They'll be able to visit. All right? But what if God says you marry a missionary and you go to Irian Jaya and you spend 5 years before? It's going to be hard for me. But if I see that is what God is leading her to, if I understand and I And I see in her life, God is leading her to a life of being a missionary. I should not try to speak over her what I want. We should be speaking over her what what God wants. You know, I don't think Moses was blessing the people according to what he wanted. But you know, what do we do? We either do two things. We either try to mold our children in what we want them to be by speaking over them what we want, or we try to ruin our children by telling them how stupid they are. But God has mercy. You know, when I was growing up, they used to laugh at me when I would sing, you know. They would laugh. Guess what? God used me as a worship leader for over 14 years. We could overcome those things, but that's not how God designed it. God wants us, as we look at our children and you blessing your children, you are speaking over them what God has for them. How many of us are speaking over our children what God has for them? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Who found it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. God has given to us and to our children all the blessings that we need to do what he has called us to do. One of the issues I see in us, you know, I read this, and some of the blessings here I would rather have than some of the others. If I was to read this, let me show you what we do sometimes, and we do this in scripture all the time. If I'm reading, doing my devotion, and I get to this, I would probably choose the blessings I like the best, and then I'll just put my name in when it says their name, right? How many people has done that? Come on now. I have done it. And sometimes it has nothing to do what God has called you to do. But we do it because there's certain things we like. In fact, I liked Joseph's blessing. In verse 13. And Joseph, he said, blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with choice fruits of the sun and the rich yield of the months, with the freshest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gift of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the plate of him who is prince among his brothers. Don't you like that? I wrote here, when I read that blessing, I wrote this. He prospered above all. His blessing sounds like the blessings you give to the firstborn. But here it's given to the youngest. He is blessed beyond compare, and then he is compared to the firstborn bull. He is more majestic than the firstborn, and then it gives him the horns and the, like an ox, the strength. So here he has the best of all worlds, in my opinion. He got a flourishing land that brings forth fruit, and it's good fruit, and he has the power to do what is need to be done. What a blessing. But does his role in the whole scope of Israel fall out of place or beyond any other? I don't think so. Because each tribe has their place, and has their place according to where God has them. The one I had, I had a little struggle when he blessed Dan. He said, Dan is like a lion's cub that leaves from Bashem. That's it. And as I read the commentaries, what they said is that he had what it takes for where he was living, because he had to have that kind of fighting warrior type of atmosphere in their midst, because they were closer to the outskirts and to the other tribes that would fight against them. That's what they said. But when I read that, this is what came through my mind. If I'm standing up there and they're pronouncing blessings, and then my turn came and that's all I got, I would leave depressed. It reminds me of the days when they would be picking for a football or for, you guys, we call it soccer. It's football to us. But and when they pick you last, you know that feeling? Or they say, you could have him. Yeah, you take him. It's all right. I used to be there. I know what it feels like. And when I read that, I thought, that's how I'd be feeling right now. But guess what? We don't have to feel that way. Because whatever role, whatever blessing God has for you is what is needed to do what you are called to do. We want to live like America when God called us to a third world country. You know, it's like having so much in you, but you could only use a little bit. Because of what God called you to be. Guess what? The difference is we all have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that operates in you that operates in me. It just operates in you to carry out your gift according to the will of God. Guess what? It's the same Father we all have. It's the same mighty, powerful Father we all have. What we don't understand is God knows it all. He sees the big picture. It's like today, like times like today in my struggles. When, let me tell you, if I will depend on me, I would not do what God called me to do. I wouldn't do it. Because sometimes I practice a word, I go listen how it's pronounced. And when it's time to come preach, I forgot all about how the word is pronounced. Sometimes I'm studying and I have to go look up words that you probably could just see and understand what it means, and I have to go look it up and see what it means. But God has given me enough to do what I need to do for him. God has given me the blessing that I need in order to do what I'm doing today. Most of the prophecies I have gotten in my life, I could look back at them and see most of them fulfilled in my life. God had spoken to somebody and they have spoken blessings over me, and today I'm experiencing those blessings. David, all you have to do is start looking and see what God has called DJ to do, and you start to speak those things. Because God can take him from where he is and make him what he needs to be. We underestimate the power of our tongue. We underestimate it. Now, we have to correct. We have to say, this is what the word of God said, and you're going against it. We have to apply the rod of correction. We do. We have to guide people in the way and the things of God, but we do not have to speak curses over them. We can look in their lives and see what God has placed in them and is calling them out, and speak those things and pray God for mercy. And then Moses finished up. He said, there is none like God, O Jehoram, who rides through the heavens on to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling. The eternal God is your dwelling place. The underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and say, destroy. So Israel live in safety. Jacob live alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heaven drops down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, and the sword of your triumph. Your enemy shall come foaming to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. Now listen, he's finished blessing all the tribes, and then he tells them what their God is like. Now this is what I like. After all the blessings, be it long, be it short, be it nice, or not as nice as you think, he did tell them this. This God is your God. Don't matter where you land in the line of the blessing, or don't matter if you're the hand, or if you're the eyes, or if you're the feet, or if you're the toe, or if you're the ears, or if you're the nose, your God is still a powerful God over you. Your God is the God who destroys your enemy. Your God is the God who has an outstretched arms towards you. Your God is the God who lives above and is a mighty God. I'll ask a question. One simple question. Are you happy with God's call on your life? Are you happy with God's call on your life? If your call is just to be a servant, just nobody sees you, nobody notices what you do, nobody knows that you come and you clean the bathroom and you vacuum the floor, nobody knows that. Are you satisfied if that's what God has called you to do? Guess what? The evangelists that are out there winning thousands of souls has the same God. The same God of the same power that will reveal himself to you just as he reveals it to the evangelist, just as he reveals it to the prophet, just as he reveals himself to the teacher, just as he reveals himself to the prophet, he reveals himself to you. It's the same God that the evangelists have to trust for his finances, that the same God could do the same thing for you. It's the same God that when you're in a tight spot, don't matter what kind of tight spot, that you could call to and find help in time of need. Same God. It matters not what your station is, if you're fully going to trust in God. You know, Joshua, the guy was here Wednesday, he was saying... He said, you know, small church, it's okay. But you know what? I've already had that in my heart. If this church never grows, it's okay. If this is what God has for me. If this church grows and grows and grows, it's okay. Because that's what God has for me. In whatever state I am, I'll be content. Is that your words this morning? I encourage you today, when you speak to your children, see the good. Correct them, yes. Correct them. If they're doing wrong, it's your responsibility to correct them. But watch what you're speaking over your children. Watch what you're saying about your children. Yes, have the hard talks with them. Have the talks you don't like to have with them. But don't forget, see God in them. And speak over them what you see in them that represents the body of Christ. Amen.